The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where we tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hegstrom, along with co-host Mark Durkin. School is now in session.
Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us here on Education Nation. I am your host, Rebecca Hegstrom, and it's a privilege to once again join you on Saturday morning. I am joined in studio by producer of Education Nation and co-host Mark Durkin.
Good morning again, Rebecca.
Good morning to you, Mark. As we approach 4th of July, we are getting closer and closer,
right,
aren't we?
Oh,
I know.
Hard to believe.
Well, as we come into the show today, we want to talk about the fact that this comes on the heels of school having just ended in the last few weeks for many schools across our nation, and high school seniors have begun preparations to step into the collegiate world. And it's really a culmination of having to excel and impress schools on the much anticipated standardized test. They have to fine-tune and polish their high school transcripts and really craft a unique persona on cover letters so that they really stand out on their applications for their dream college.
That's right, Rebecca. Competition to stand out from the crowd, it is extremely intense. And to add to the pressure, there are parents out there that have been known to pay outrageous sums of money to help their kids really enhance their resumes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in addition to that, college presidents, they want to increase the ratio of applications to admissions, which projects a reputation of becoming more, quote unquote, elite.
Mm-hmm. And is the hype surrounding reputation and the application process, though, diverting the attention of parents and their kids from focusing and investigating on more important matters like curriculum? Studies show that more and more college graduates are taking jobs that don't even require a college degree. And it's really becoming more evident that a four-year college education is not, and maybe even should not, be the only gateway into a rewarding career field. Howard Root joins us in studio this morning, and Howard is the founder and former CEO of Minnesota-based company Vascular Solutions. He has had an incredible passion for informing the public of why a four-year college-based education is not the only option for American students to land themselves a rewarding career. So this morning, Howard joins us to share his findings after many hours of research on this topic. Howard Root, welcome to Education Nation.
Good morning, Rebecca. Good morning, Mark. Thanks
morning.
For inviting me on.
Yes, we're glad to have you today. Well, when did you really begin this passion? I know you started researching this. I've known you for a few months now, last 6 months or so, and I've heard you talk about this every once in a while.
Yeah, well, I started Vascular Solutions in 1997, and not having any children of my own, it wasn't until we got to be about 200 employees in about 2002, 2003, when we really saw the opportunity to hire more junior employees, more apprenticeship programs, and we started expanding our research and development and our manufacturing. And
mm-hmm.
So as a medical device company, we're hiring the wide range from engineers to technicians to assemblers to marketing and sales professionals. And we were able to start apprenticeship programs in marketing and sales, hiring four-year college graduates. But we're also trying to hire technical tool and die makers, machine support technicians, and engineers as well. So in the last, I'd say, 15 years, I got to see a wide range of students coming out of technical programs in colleges, and then started thinking about what was working for them and what wasn't. And I thought, you know, I should give them the advice before they go in
mm-hmm.
and make a mistake on what they're studying. And so I wrote an op-ed in the Star Tribune, I think, you know, a couple of years
yes.
ago. You read that one. Still remember
did.
It.
Yes.
And so it's been a passion of mine, because I think the education needs to be geared toward the professions that the students want to obtain.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that education's goal is to make more money. It should mm-hmm. be about learning and improving your life.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not getting the students to learn the skills and the abilities to perform well in their chosen profession, then we've really done a disservice to the youth.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I know that you mentioned in that first op-ed, and in fact, like you say, that's actually when I met you the first time, it came up that you had written this op-ed, and I said, boy, I remember that op-ed from many years ago. But that said, there were some factors that you noticed were kind of missing in the students that you were starting to interview for various internships. Isn't that correct?
Right. Yeah, we had a marketing associate program, which was a two-year rotational program so we could take a college graduate, recent college graduate, no experience in medical devices or anatomy or any training at all, and in 2 years we could train them so they could be a product manager or a sales representative for us. And so we put that out there, and we got a lot of resumes because kids coming out with degrees in math or psychology or chemistry, looking for alternative careers, getting a start in medical devices. It's a great business and industry in the Twin Cities especially. And I started looking at the resumes, and I saw some really, really poor choices that the students were making. One of my least favorite classes is History of Rock 1. And there's two reasons. One, it's not a geology class. It's not History of Rocks.
Right.
But second, the History of Rock 1, you know there's a History of Rock 2.
Yeah.
And it's a professor talking about his experience in a rock and roll band in Southern California, you know, in the 1970s. And, and then I saw courses like Honeybee Management and Beginning Running, Cash or Credit, which is a one-credit class to decide whether to pay cash or use a credit card to make a payment.
Goodness.
These are college credits.
Right.
And the resumes, I was one of the few employers was asking for a copy of the whole transcript. And I don't think a lot of employers do that. But as I did that, I saw who was making the choices to take the hard courses, who was taking the soft courses. And so the title of my editorial was No Hard Sciences, No Job Offer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care if you have a 3.9 GPA.
Right.
If it's filled with fluff, you do not know enough to work in the medical device industry.
Right.
If I hired you, it would be a failure. So I'm going to look at the people who have taken good courses and make those hard choices, even if they just have a B average. And that's the way we went for the next 10 years and did very well as a result.
Boy, that's so true. And, you know, that used to always be what people would say, is it's much better to have a B or a C average in rigorous courses than to have straight A's in fluff. And like you say, you were one of the few employers that actually was looking at that transcript.
Right. And I don't know how many other employers do that. So I wouldn't want to tell people that GPA is unimportant, because when you're getting into law school or medical school, GPA is important. But you have to be substantive learners. And the problem is, if you have a high GPA and you haven't learned anything in college, well, you're not going to succeed in business.
Right.
I had more than one student tell me that the hardest class they took in their entire education career was high school physics. They had graduated from a four-year degree, and yet senior year in high school was the hardest class they ever took. That should not happen in universities, but it's happening every day.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. Well, in 2014, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York stated that a whopping 46% of recent college graduates were in jobs that don't even require a college degree. 46%.
Wow.
That's amazing. So why this growing disconnect, would you say, Howard?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, is that too many students are choosing the traditional four-year degree. Roughly 70% of students coming out of high school go to college. 50% of those are four-year degree. But only about 25% of the jobs require a four-year degree. So it's musical chairs. If you perform well and it's what you're good at, you will get a job in that chosen field. But a lot of those people can't get a job because there are no jobs for them. Yet we have low unemployment and we have plenty of jobs available. It's just a mismatch between what the students are told to go in and study and what they really can get for a job when they come out.
Interesting.
Now, you mentioned in the process with Vascular Solutions, the looking at the transcripts, the doing the interviews. You know, to those parents, as we mentioned at the top of the show, that will be looking at schools based on name, the fact that they have kind of an elite reputation. Why do you think that these college curriculums are not delivering the real learning that's needed to adequately fill these positions? What could you maybe share with these parents to kind of give them a heads up?
So I started, I'm a University of Minnesota graduate, and so I put the op-ed in there, and I pointed at the University of Minnesota as being a very bad, poor school, a bad offender in this area. So I got a call from one of the associate deans to invite me down for lunch. I met him at a neutral site because I didn't want to be on campus talking about criticizing my alma mater. But, you know, it really does come down to this, is they really need classes that the students sign up for. It's almost like the universities are being governed by the students. They need a professor who can teach it, but he said, we can force a teacher on any course. But if the students don't sign up for these courses, well, those courses go away. So as they offer more and more alternatives, new majors, new courses, and students look for fluffing up their transcript and making it easier. And I, look, I was the same student in college. I wanted the easier classes because I was going to law school and I wanted the high GPA.
Right.
So we all play that game when we're 18 and 19, but when we're 45 and 55 and setting the rules for the next generation, we should not always give them what they want. Mm-hmm. We should give them what they need.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the problem is the universities are abdicating the responsibility to have a substantive core curriculum that teaches the students how to learn.
Yes.
I really don't care what subject they mastered. I just care that they master a technical subject so I know they can read, they can write, they can speak, and they can translate difficult concepts into working knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, the previous administration made a big awareness check, really, for everybody about STEM, science, technology, you know, engineering and mathematics, the need for those type of professions going forth if we're to remain, you know, competitive on a global scale. Would you say, though, that, you know, these elective courses that you mentioned earlier, in the name of creating a well-rounded graduate, I mean, they're actually serving as a detriment to the overall preparation for specific degrees, especially also for even STEM preparation for the future, correct?
They are. And when we say STEM, you know, there's some fluff in STEM as well. Mm-hmm. Not all science classes are chemistry and physics.
Sure.
I mean, you know, rocks for jocks and geology is not exactly the hardest course to take.
Right.
I remember because I took it. But
was that really a name?
It was my name. It's the only one I remember, Rebecca. But, you know, the flip side of that is there's a lot of STEM in the trade programs. Dunwoody Technical College has a 99% placement rate. And I tried to get their graduates, and I had a fight to try to find a couple that would interview with me. When we had this associate program for recent college graduates, we'd get 50 to 100 applications for every placement.
Okay.
When I wanted a mechanical technician who knew how to work with, say, UV bonding, I would hire everyone who walked in the door that knew what it was talking about. So there's a mismatch there, too, is if you're technical, you don't have to go to college to get the knowledge. And in our research and development program, we had a PhD reporting to a high school graduate.
Hmm.
The high school graduate was developing medical devices, having a PhD report to him.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. And that came about because of his experience.
Because of his experience and
right.
his ability. He
yes.
had the ability. Now, the guy was a little... ADD, so he couldn't sit still, so he wasn't good in the classroom.
Sure.
But boy, he knew what the equipment was when there was extrusion, injection molding, wire forming, braiding, all those technical concepts that went into our catheters that we made.
Yeah.
He was the guy who knew how to make it, and he'd been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah.
The PhD had all the science background, could do the statistics, but didn't know how a medical device was made. And,
right.
and that PhD, by working for the high school graduate technical person, actually got more of an education at our company than she did in her PhD program that was relevant to her. And she'll be a great employee for years to come.
Yeah.
But you need to have both sides. You need to have the education, at least in part of your employee base, but you need to have that technical hands-on skill set in another part of your employee base in order to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to the technical skill set, too, I mean, the real issue is that, you know, students are really lacking analytical and just communication skills that are needed to learn communication in advanced subjects, too. Correct?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite stories. We had someone apply with a degree in scientific and technical communications, and I had seen not only no science classes, I saw no communications classes. Communications classes I saw were visual rhetoric.
Visual.
Yeah, and they're so
like
blatant about that.
Oxymoron to me.
Right.
They're so blatant. They're not just hiding it in these other titles. They're actually putting it in the title of the course. So they really don't care, I think, in the university setting as to what the employment ability of their graduates are.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really care that the students are not getting jobs. They want to tell us that their students are great, and we're saying they can't do the basic things we need to do to learn our business. And they say, well, that's your job. Do more apprenticeship program. Now, there's some problems on the students coming into college as well, the number of remedial programs they have to go through.
Right.
And that comes from too many students trying to do this.
Right.
Because if you're taking the bottom quarter of the high school class and putting them into college, you're going to have to bring them up to the midpoint in order to even start a real college education experience.
Okay. Well, and as we've talked about many times before, even if you're not talking about the bottom quarter, I mean, the K-12 educational system has changed so dramatically that we're running into those kinds of problems just simply because of the way they are being taught, the way math is being taught, the way science is being taught. It's inadequate. It's wholly inadequate. So even if you were looking at the middle half of, you know, the middle 25 to 75%, they are not getting the same amount of training in excellent writing skills, speaking skills, math, and science as they were at one time in this country.
Oh, right. Yeah. If they don't have the ability to put together a proper English sentence going into college, you cannot teach them English composition.
Right.
They're going to take 2 years of just trying to get to the point where they needed to be to get into college.
Yep.
And so if we continue to push those students in, we dilute the college experience. We make it a factory, a diploma mill.
Mm-hmm.
And then what comes out at the other side are people who aren't trained sufficiently in the educational process to learn the jobs that we need to grow the economy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, we're going to take a short time out here on Education Nation. You did mention apprenticeship programs. We're going to talk about that a little bit when we return from the break. Also, vocational schools, technical schools, and how we can begin to see students on the way up in these areas that are so desperately needed in our workforce today. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
It's time for education to awaken students to the best in life and to equip them for the worst. And that is why Liberty Classical Academy exists. Liberty Classical is a pre-K through 12th grade classical Christian school located in White Bear Lake, and families from around the Twin Cities are finding that it is the right place for them. We join a richly academic culture with a love for learning and a love for God. We are building students, we're building citizens that lead with courage and wisdom, that delight in truth and beauty. Liberty Classical is building students who lead, students who serve, students who create. Liberty Classical is building lives that inspire. Go to libertyclassicalacademy.org to find out more, to schedule a tour, and to see for yourself. Liberty Classical Academy, building lives that inspire.
If you've seen Liberty Classical Academy, you know just how beautiful it is. But if you haven't, see it for yourself at libertyclassicalacademy.org. That's libertyclassicalacademy.org.
Are you looking to build or remodel your home? If you can dream it, Hagstrom Builder can do it. Whether it's new construction, renovation, or remodel, Hagstrom Builder will craft an architectural design to reflect your lifestyle and taste. Hagstrom Builder specializes in working with landscape and light to bring the beauty of your surroundings in. From Minnetonka to the St. Croix Valley and everything in between, Hagstrom Builder is available to make your dream home come true. For more information, visit HagstromBuilder.com. Hagstrom Builder, no shortcuts, ever.
We don't need no thought control.
Well, welcome back to Education Nation, where we are here today in studio with Howard Root, former CEO of Vascular Solutions, discussing college and kind of the lack of preparation that we are seeing for many of the jobs that the students are actually out in the world doing once they graduate. And during the break, we got talking about the fact that I think many parents have this notion that and I think there's research that actually has even backed this up, that students who have a college degree tend to make more money in the end. And so I think that's one of the reasons why parents tend to push their kids in the direction of college. But when you consider what some people can make if they go into some of the trades, Howard, there is quite a differential on coming right out of college and going into maybe a lower paying job with all that college debt versus maybe going into a trade without the college debt and then coming out making more money.
Yeah, I think they talk about the college premium is how much on average the college graduate makes over the high school graduate. Mm-hmm. Now, I think we talked about it. I think the important thing is these are not randomized samples. It's not you're taking a pool and picking them randomly one or the other. People make the decision to go to college are different than the people who decide to stop after high school. So you can't really compare their earnings potential or their earnings lifetime on an apples-to-apples basis.
Sure.
So you're better off looking at what they're going to get coming out of their technical program or coming out of their college and you know, and what's the upward potential of that profession. And a lot of the college-educated people do better initially, but there is a $100,000 to $200,000 debt load and 4 years of going to college that comes off the top. But the technical-skilled professions are the ones that are growing fastest in income in the U.S. And, you know, one of the things is sometimes I think the students and certainly the parents think that if their child chooses one of those technical skills, they're not as smart, mm-hmm. or there's a stigma associated with it. They go to Dunwoody as opposed to going to the University of Minnesota. Well, they must not have been able to get into the University of Minnesota. But if you go to Dunwoody and get a robotics degree, I mean, that's as scientific and technical as you can get.
Right.
You'll easily get $50,000 to $75,000 a year starting.
Wow.
And you can get up in the $150,000 to $200,000 throughout your lifetime
really?
In that area. If you get a mechanical engineering degree from the University of Minnesota, you might start right at about 45, and that's 2 years later. So you'll be about the same area. Mm-hmm. You have the potential to go way up from that as a mechanical engineer. But most of them do get locked in that $75,000 to $100,000 a year. So there isn't as this commonly held misperception that college will increase the earnings capacity for every student is just 100% false. You have to look at what the student is good at and what they want to do. If they are really studious, if they get great grades and they want to be a doctor, well, they do have to go to college for that.
Right.
But if they are very technical and they like working with their hands and they really sometimes don't want to do their homework and get through it, well, maybe the technical school is a much better option, not only for them to succeed in school, but for them to succeed financially after school as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'm really glad that you shared that because I know that I certainly had no idea that you could go to Dunwoody and receive that type of an income coming right out of school. So that's good information for our listeners to hear.
Yeah, and it's not just Dunwoody. I mean, North Hennepin.
Well,
there's other technical schools out there.
I just mean a technical school. Yeah,
and then there's apprenticeships, too. And we were starting to do more of that at Vascular Solutions until I sold the company.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of options for technically gifted students to get out there and learn something that will give them a nice, solid job for the rest of their life. I mean, auto mechanics, they're not just grease monkeys sitting there working with wrenches. These are computer-trained engineers working on our automobiles, and they can be making $100,000 a year as a master technician and have – it'd be impossible for them to be unemployed. We need 5,000 more just in the next 2 years across the nation.
Wow. Interesting. Well, I know my husband owns a residential construction company. He builds homes, and he says all the time how difficult it is to find skilled carpenters. And that's an area, too, that I think has kind of become a lost trade. And, you know, even if you want to train a carpenter, there's not good apprenticeship programs out there to really allow for that. So
yeah, there is going to be a worker shortage over the next decade, but it's a worker shortage for certain workers.
Right.
And there's still going to be a surplus of, you know, I got to say it's sociology majors and, you know, general business majors. These are things that don't have natural progressions to a job and yet they may have $100,000 in debt.
Right.
That's just a bad financial decision. If that's what you want to study and your parents can afford it and you've got something going on afterwards, fine.
Right.
All the power to you. But if you think you're going to get a general business degree, four-year degree, and go right into business and be successful, most of us in the business world are looking for someone with technical skills that we can teach the business principles rather than a business student who has to be taught, you know, 2 and 2 is 4.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Powerful.
Plenty
testament
of opportunity.
Here. Yeah, that's for sure. So, Howard, in your view, what do you think universities need to do then to prepare the graduates to qualify for college, degree, required jobs, or whatever, to meet the expectations of developed analytical and communication skills that are needed?
Well, I think, you know, let's start with some of the things I think every liberal arts university should be focused on, and that is the communication skills, written and verbal. And I saw, sorry to say, I mean, I'm 56 years old, so I'm an older generation. I stopped interviewing these students when their parents were younger than me, because that made me felt just way too old. But, you know, I noticed when I'm just talking to them, they don't have eye contact. They have up talk at the end of every sentence. It goes up like a valley girl. They're looking away. They don't answer questions. I had one interview. I asked this woman, why did you want to have a job at my company? Which is, you know, not a surprise question. That should be an easy one.
No.
Not gonna. She said, my mom told me it would be a good fit for me.
No way. Talk about the helicopter parenting of the generations today. Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, so there's that. But in the university setting, the English composition and speech, which I'm just having a trouble with right now. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be competent. Do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
But that has almost disappeared, is what I've seen, the number of writing courses. And then substantive fields within the humanities would be nice, as opposed to feelings courses. Let's do thinking courses.
Right.
Let's take Shakespeare and study it if you're going to be in that area. Let's take Western civilization. And now, I'm sounding like a real old codger here, I think.
No, you're not. No.
But there are sometimes you look back and you say that things were maybe a little bit better back in the 60s and 50s in the universities. Mm-hmm. And then you get into the science, and let's get it back to a little bit more hard sciences, a little more substance, more labs. And engineering, University of Minnesota, they had a battle over shutting down the machine shop in the mechanical engineering undergraduate program. Now, how could you do a mechanical engineering degree without a machine shop?
Yeah.
Yet they are so math intensive in that department that a lot of their students don't know how to do basic mechanical skills. I had one mechanical engineer ask me what saw to use to cut the handle of this engineer's broomball stick.
No.
It was an aluminum broomball stick, did not know what a hacksaw was and how to use it. So, and it's, you know, again, it's not important that that engineer know what a hacksaw is, but it's indicative of what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what a mill is. They don't know what a lathe is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to weld two pieces of metal together. They don't know that you can't weld aluminum. You know, these basic things when you're designing medical devices that you need to know that I'm expecting them to get. And it used to be we'd hire farm kids because they had all the technical capabilities, right? Well, the number of farm kids is going down. So we're hoping that we're getting more out of the universities and the degree programs, and those are going down. But for the university administrators and those in charge of the curriculum, get back to core subjects.
Yes.
Simplify the curriculum. You'll save yourself a bundle of money.
Right. You don't have to have so many professors teaching some of these fluff courses.
Absolutely. And concentrate on the students getting what they need as opposed to what they ask for. Now, I'd be a horrible university professor or administrator, dean, because I think the faculty would quit and the students would stay away. But let's not let the truth be subjected to the whims of people.
Right.
Right.
And actually, in the end, you might save that university by having that attitude. Because I agree with you. I think that they are being too driven by the desires of the professors and the students and not about what's really going to make a well-rounded, well-educated student for various fields.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I know in the nation's, or if the nation's colleges fail to make these changes quickly, do you think that apprenticeship programs could be the better option? And do you think we'll see more of those pop up?
Yeah, I think we're already seeing it. President Trump just came out with a big push for it. The nice thing about apprenticeship programs is I don't think the government has to pay money for it.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have to pay money for it. Because as we have a labor shortage, which is what we're in right now, the businesses have a desire and a need to hire less skilled employees and teach them how to do the jobs that the employers need to have done. So then we just had to figure out how do we do that. And trumpeting, and I shouldn't use the word trump as often, I guess, but broadcasting the successes of businesses with apprenticeship programs is a good start. And that's what President Trump is doing right now. And we had a little one. My company peaked at 650 employees before I sold it in February. So we were on that edge where we could really start putting more money into training and more money into education. But we had a mechanical engineering apprenticeship. We had marketing apprenticeships. We could have done a lot more of that if I'd stayed at the company for the next 10 years.
Right.
I just want to ask you real quickly here, Howard, you know, with it being difficult to find a skilled plumber or an electrician today, you know, how do these programs at these vocational and technical schools, how do they overcome their current, like, inadequate and unfunded setups to really create for themselves a people who can satisfy these important jobs?
Well, yeah, I don't know how their funding is working. I think that the most important thing in this is the social status and encourage the students to think of these professions as on a par of going to college. I'm fearful there's too many students thinking that they're disappointing their parents if they don't go to college, too many parents who think that they're the failure of their whole family if their kids don't go to college. But also employers, there's too many employers who look at the college degree as being something that's marketable, something that's important, as opposed to saying, let me take someone who's less degreed but more learnable and get that apprenticeship program started and going forward. So I don't know if it's a question of funding. I know that it's a question of social acceptance And I think that's, and I wouldn't say that's the easy thing to break down, but I think that's a pretty easy thing for people to appreciate, is that when we're valuing the trades, when we're valuing the people who work with their hands as much as those who work with their minds, then we've made a good sense of progress. Let's just start there and then see how far that takes us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely. Well, this has been a very interesting conversation, and it's gone very quickly, as always.
That's very educational.
But we are really grateful to have you in studio with us today, Howard. Is there any, you know, we've just got a few seconds left here before we close the show. Do you have any last points that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I think if the majority of listeners are parents, talk to your students about looking, your children, about looking for alternatives. Don't assume the college is the only way.
There you go. That's great advice. Well, we thank you, our listeners, for joining us here today. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast, then you can go to our Facebook page or KLBB. And we will look forward to seeing you again next week. Thanks. Oh, yeah.